1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. These three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that He has bore concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has bore concerning His Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, for it does many things. Certainly You have confessed given us Your truth through Your Word. It tells us all about Your Son. It tells us how to receive the gift of eternal life that is in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, I ask that this day we might hear this testimony, the testimony of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank You that You bear witness to Christ, and ultimately You effectively bear witness through the very Holy Spirit working within. And so we ask for that work among us even now. May we understand Your Word, and may we respond believing in Christ. And it's only through Jesus that I ask this. Amen. Believing in Christ is not a burden. We saw that. Faith in Christ is actually the victory that the Christian has. And I hope that we can see John encouraging this group of believers over and over again, these glorious truths that he's been bringing out. We might like to think about 1 John as the evidences to know that you're actually in the family of God, that you have been born of God. I think also we can see that there's great encouragement for the believer in these words. And so, if we're going to be encouraged, we have to consider, have we believed God's testimony about Jesus? This is an important question. Have you believed God's testimony about Jesus? Well, what testimony has God given about Jesus? We are going to consider this evidence. We're going to look at verses 6 through verse 12 this evening. And these evidences that Jesus indeed is the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world, that He is the anointed one of God that brings salvation. That is this testimony about who Christ is. And the Bible is full of this testimony of Christ. Certainly many areas, most, all areas of the Bible are going to point us to Christ ultimately, if we see it aright. But tonight, or this afternoon, we're going to look here at these verses 6 through 12, and we're going to see the three that testify. Now, I've read that one time, and it says three that testify. We're going to see external witness and internal witness about Jesus. We're going to see what that means is we'll see what God did to show all that Jesus is the Son of God. He showed everyone that Jesus was the Son of God, but also God does something within a person to show them that Jesus indeed is the Son of God. And we need this testimony. We need it. If we don't have God's testimony, then we don't have life, according to this passage of Scripture. And this, of course, is not just speaking about life here and now. Life in God is current. It is on this earth, but ultimately it is an eternal life. And so we need God's testimony. The testimony of God is great, and God has bore testimony concerning His Son. And so we're going to consider that. There is no question, according to the words of the Bible, that God has given testimony. God the Father has given testimony concerning Jesus. And when a person believes God's testimony about Jesus, there will certainly be an effect. There will certainly be something that happens. And so these verses from 1 John chapter 5, 6 through 12, I break it up into three sections, really. The first section being verses 6 through 8. This will be, you can consider it the water, the blood, and the Spirit testify to the truth of Jesus. We'll see that very clearly. The second section, verses 9 and 10, we see the way to receive God's testimony about Jesus is to believe in Jesus. And finally, at the third section, verses 11 and 12, receiving the testimony of Jesus is to receive eternal life. Receiving the testimony of Jesus is to receive eternal life. Have you believed God's testimony about Jesus? Let me again read verses 6 through 8 as we begin on this first point. This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, these three agree. Right at the beginning, I have to say something about the difference in translation. For many of you are holding a Bible that had many more words in verse 7 and a few more words in verse 8. So we know that the New Testament was originally written in Greek. And there are many, thank the Lord, there are many Greek manuscripts that have been preserved throughout the ages. God has preserved them over time. And we also need to realize, though, in this variety or these manuscripts, Greek of the New Testament, there are differences in the manuscripts. We'll find little differences here and there. This seems to be a longer one here, more words that vary from the translation. First thing I want to say about this is, out of all the variances of the New Testament, none of these variances change. They do not change the overall teaching of the Bible. So out of all of the variances of the New Testament, there is no change in the overall teaching of the Bible. Verse 7 in some translations includes a longer reading. It says, there are three that bear record in heaven. This is from King James. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And then other translations have the shorter reading, which you heard me read. There are three that testify. I think as I've gotten a chance to look at the evidence, and everybody that makes a translation of the Bible and it also wants to dig into these variances of the manuscripts can examine that evidence themselves. I do believe the shorter reading would be the original, but many of you would believe that the longer reading to be the original. And the truth is that either reading, if we read this, they both fall in line with what the rest of the Bible teaches. Many will say, well, how will we defend the doctrine of the Trinity if we don't have verse 7 in its entirety? I think that there's lots of places in the scriptures we can go to teach the truth of the Trinity. One of the arguments for the shorter reading is that when the church was going through this big debate on the Trinity in early centuries of the church, there was not a lot of reference, and some would say no reference, to this longer reading in verse 7. And so had the early church had this, certainly they would have used verse 7 to help defend the doctrine of the Trinity. There are many evidences, and tonight, really, or this afternoon, is not my purpose to go through. I have told you where I fall, and if you'd like to consider that further, I'll be happy to point you in a direction and maybe bring some of the evidence before you, or you could bring some evidence before me if you'd like to convince me for the longer reading. Again, it does not change the teaching of the Bible. Certainly, the Trinity is thoroughly scriptural. It is what we learn as we study the Bible. I've said something about the difference in translations, and now the focus is that the water, the blood, and the Spirit testify to the truth of Jesus. And it says there in verse 6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. So Jesus came by water and blood. We need to try to understand what is this testimony that God made through water and blood, because we see in verse 9 at the second half, this is the testimony God has bore concerning his Son. So we know that this is important. The question is, what is it? What is this in reference to? Again, some people, certainly many commentators, will vary in their understanding of what the water and the blood is. We can look to the immediate context. We can look to context in 1 John, and then, of course, context in the Bible as a whole. But what are the passages in the Bible that might help us in understanding the meaning of Jesus coming by water and blood? So I guess I'm kind of speeding this up. I'm not giving you all the variety of understanding. I'm just coming in the direction that I think would be helpful and what the Lord is pointing us to through 1 John chapter 5. If Jesus comes by water, there was certainly a significant event in Jesus' life that included water. It was when he was baptized in water. So Jesus came by water and blood. This water, I believe, is a reference to his baptism. This is the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. This was a very important occasion. This inaugurated his work. You know, he lived some 33 years on the earth, but it was really the last 3.5 years that was the focal point of him coming out, and it's the time is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is fulfilled, repent and believe the gospel. This was the time when he came out clearly and proclaimed the reason for him coming to this earth. Certainly we get glimpses, and we don't have a whole lot from the scriptures to tell us about his earlier life, but we know that from about age 30 on was definitely a significant time in the life of Christ as he walked the earth. And so Jesus came by water. In reference, he was baptized, and we read that in Mark chapter 1, but we know what happened at this account. Immediately when he went up from the water, behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove coming to rest on him. Behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Now we're considering how God the Father gave testimony to his Son, Jesus Christ. And what a testimony. I mean, heaven is opened. The Holy Spirit descended, and then there's even a recognizable, the Lord spoke from heaven. The Father says, "This is my beloved Son." In other words, this is the Son of God with whom I am well pleased. I think it's helpful reference here. Again, others can point in other directions, but if Jesus came by water, this is certainly this time when he was baptized was a great testimony. So, again, many understand the water from this passage to mean the baptism of Jesus. And he didn't come by water only. If you are in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And so, there's both of these that are there, because there were others that came by water, right? We know that John the Baptist came by water, if this is in reference to baptism. For John the Baptist came baptizing. He baptized people to prepare, as Barnes says, for the coming of the Messiah. But Barnes says that Jesus was distinguished from John the Baptist in the fact that his ministry was characterized by the shedding of blood. This is something we couldn't say, that others had come by water and blood, not by water only. For the shedding of Jesus' blood is one of the peculiarities, the way that Barnes puts it, one of the distinctions of his work. And so, you've heard what I think is in reference here. The water is at the baptism of Jesus. There's a great testimony. And now as we consider the blood, we know that the time when Jesus' blood was poured out. The blood of Jesus should cause us to think about his suffering and his death upon the cross. For indeed, that is when his blood was poured out. God gave a testimony during this event of the suffering, death, this crucifixion of Christ. He gave a testimony, and many people were affected by Jesus' suffering and death. Why do I say that? I mean, what happened on the cross? And this is not an ordinary crucifixion. Plenty of people died on a cross in Jerusalem, right? That was the means, one means of capital punishment. But I would suggest that we don't have a record of another that in the middle of the day, the sky going dark for 3 hours period of time. No, there is a testimony that something is happening here, and the one on that cross is not an ordinary criminal like the other two on each side, you see. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And so the sky would even go dark. And then Jesus cried out. He gave up the ghost. He cried, made a loud cry, and he breathed his last. And you think, okay, there he is. He's been on the cross and he died, but the testimony didn't stop there. We know that the scripture says the curtain of the temple was torn in two. This was at least circulated enough that the gospel writers get this information. And this was a special tearing of the curtain, for it was from top to bottom. If you're on the stage, and if you had a mind to tear a curtain on the stage, how would you do it? You'd probably get somebody to help you. And you say, you stand here or you go that direction, I'm going to go this direction, and we're each going to separate this curtain, let's tear it apart. We'd be from bottom to top. But there was a testimony of who Jesus, the one that was hanging on the cross when his blood was being poured out, and that this is different. And the significance of this curtain is not the curtain on the set of the play. It's not, you're not in the theater, you see, but this is the temple. And there is a separation between these rooms and the temple, the holy place and the most holy place, or the holy of holies. And the presence of God was to dwell in the holy of holies. And only the high priest by blood once a year was to enter that place. And now Jesus dies, he breathes his last, and this curtain is torn from top to bottom, and there's a great testimony taking place. By the one that's out there that just died on that cross, everyone will be able to enter into the presence of God. It'll be through him. We're not going to go through the high priest who has to continually offer sacrifices for his own sins, but yet here's the perfect one who's dying in the place of sinners. And so the access to God is being opened up. You see, the water and the blood testify to who Jesus Christ is. And the blood was poured out. He was on the cross. And so the centurion that seeing the death of Christ, he stood and he says he's facing him. He saw the way he breathed his last. And what did he say? That's just an ordinary criminal, just like all the other ones that have died on these crosses. No. He said, truly, this man was the Son of God. You see, God was making great testimony when the blood of Christ was being poured out. The water and the blood. The water and the blood, they are the external testimony that Jesus was the Son of God. For everybody could see it there. Those many witnesses would have been gathered around at the baptism of Jesus. Many witnesses would have been gathered around at the death of Jesus upon the cross. It's the external witness. All got to see. But see, there are three. I've spoken of two that testify to Christ. The scripture says, look back there with me, verse 7, again, the shorter reading, there are three that testify. Verse 8, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree. And you can go back to the end of verse 6 and we see the Spirit is the one who testifies because the Spirit is the truth. And so the Spirit is the one that gives the internal witness that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not just what everybody got to see about Jesus, but who is really receiving the testimony, the fullest testimony that God gives of His Son. It's those who are tested by the Holy Spirit are testified to them. And so that's why John was able to say, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13, that's why he says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. That we know that we're in his Son, that we've received the testimony, it is by the Spirit. The Spirit is the truth. John said he was an eyewitness to Jesus being the Son of God. He spent a lot of time saying that at the very beginning of the letter. That we've touched. I've been able to touch him. I've been able to hear him. I've been able to speak with him. He gives lots of testimony at the beginning. But now he says that the Spirit is the one who testifies because the Spirit is the truth. The Spirit is the truth and will always give an accurate account of Jesus. The Spirit bears witness or testifies. Jesus came by water and blood. And you might be able to have seen these events, the baptism of Jesus and the death of Jesus with your eyes, but your soul would not receive this testimony apart from the work of the Spirit. This inward work of the Holy Spirit. Calvin says, whatever signs of divine glory may shine forth in Christ, they would yet be obscure, they would be unclear to us and escape our vision, were it not the Holy Spirit to open for us the eyes of faith. See, we have to look upon Jesus trusting, believing and depending upon Him. And again, this is an encouragement to the believers. Because you can hear this as we look at the Scripture and you see the testimony about Jesus and you say, yes, yes, I can see it. He really is the Christ. it really is salvation being provided by Christ and the work of Christ. I understand now that the temple and the as the curtain was torn, I understand what was happening at the death of Christ. I see that Jesus was beginning this great earthly ministry at his baptism. It's seen so clearly that actually God spoke from heaven. And by the Spirit, we can receive these things. So there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And they agree. They're one, the testimony. It's straightforward, I think, from the Scriptures, the testimony concerning the Son of God. But the question is, for me, is how does a person receive that testimony savingly to the benefit of their soul? It is by faith. It is by belief in Jesus. And so let's look at the second portion from verses 9 and 10. The way to receive God's testimony. Even some of the young ones sitting here can say, yes, I've heard the stories. I know that God made mighty testimony at the baptism of Jesus, at the death of Jesus. But the question is, how does a person receive that testimony savingly? And have you believed upon Jesus? Again, I think John's writing to believers and encouraging their hearts, saying, you have received this testimony. So rejoice in the Son. Verse 9, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has bore concerning his Son. If we receive the testimony of men, shouldn't we listen to those declaring Christ? Shouldn't we listen? Yes! Listen to those who are telling of the truths from the Scriptures. Of course, listen to what is said. And many gave testimony that Christ was no ordinary man. He was certainly man, but he was not only man. For he was the King of the Jews, the wise man said. They said, we saw his star. We know he's been born. Where's the King of the Jews? And Herod and those in Jerusalem got stirred up. The shepherds testified to what the angels had told them. So they went and they found Jesus and Mary and Joseph, and they made known the sayings that had been concerning the child. They made testimony. And it says all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Well, what did they say? Well, they probably said that an angel came to us and said, fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Of course we should receive testimony of men for about Christ, and day by day we listen to what people have to say, and we would receive something that another person said. John the Baptist testified to this truth. He said, I'm not the light. He said, I came to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about it. So what did John say? I love this phrase, this line from John the Baptist. You've heard me say it so many times. You can probably say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Everybody look, is what he says. This is the way that your sins are going to be able to be atoned for. All of you Jews that are so familiar with the sacrificial system, think about the Lamb. And aren't we take great care, for the Lord says we got to find the one without blemish. John says, don't go to the livestock herder anymore to find your sacrifice. Behold, look away from those animals now. That was only pointing us ahead. Here's the fulfillment. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So yeah, we would want to listen to what John has to say about Jesus. But John said, I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. All this work that I'm doing is nothing but a forerunning. He said, I didn't know him, But he sent me to baptize with water and said, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John says, I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. So the testimony of men is important. And we should receive the testimony of men. Every Christian should be a witness, should be giving a testimony about Jesus. In early days at the Ascension, Jesus says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And in some ways that applies to us that confess Christ, that have trusted on Him. For certainly we live at the end of the earth. If we receive the testimony of men, says verse 9 of 1 John chapter 5, the testimony of God is greater. The testimony of God is greater. Calvin says, if in worldly affairs we stand to the words of men who may lie and deceive, how unreasonable it is that God should have less credit given to Him. When sitting, as it were, on His throne where He is supreme judge. And God is the Father as supreme judge sitting on His throne. What did He say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And what did He do? He shook the earth. I didn't speak about that at the death of Christ. The earth shook. God shook the earth. And He tore the curtain in the temple. He caused the sky to be dark for 3 hours in the middle of the day. Many men gave testimony that Jesus is the Son of God. And we know that this is an outward witness about Jesus that has taken place. We should listen to all of this testimony about Jesus. But we need more. We need this internal testimony of the Holy Spirit that concerning Jesus as the Son of God. So in verse 10, we find whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God, has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has bore concerning his Son. Believing in Jesus, that He came to take away sins, believing that He's the only way to be reconciled with God, this true and ongoing faith or dependence in Christ shows that a person has received God's testimony concerning Jesus. And we can't have faith in God except that we have belief on Christ. And this Christian, the Christian has a testimony in himself. Again, it must refer to the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. By this we know that we abide in Him, because He has given us of His Spirit. All believers have the testimony in them, the testimony of Jesus in them by the Spirit of Christ, the very Holy Spirit. What does the Spirit testify to the soul about? Well, Gill, and I'm going to paraphrase, Gill says that the Holy Spirit shows the sinner that they need Christ. And the Holy Spirit shows how Christ is the only proper sacrifice, the only mediator, the only way by which a person might be reconciled to God. That's the work of the Spirit. For the Spirit of God will enlighten a person. We have a testimony in ourselves of who Jesus is, but the Spirit also shows us who we are. We are impure, but Jesus is pure. We are weak, but Jesus is strong. See, this is the testimony of the Spirit within the Christian. I do not have ability to cover my sin, atone for my sin, to appease the wrath of God, because I am unrighteous, but He is perfectly righteous. The Spirit shows us that Jesus is perfectly righteous. Without Him, we can do nothing. We see the power of the blood. We say, What can wash away my sins? Well, the Spirit shows us nothing but the blood of Jesus. See, the Christian has this testimony in himself. The one who has believed upon Christ, the Spirit gives this great testimony. The Spirit shows us the complete sacrifice and satisfaction that Christ provides, His righteousness and the grace of God, the love of God displayed in Jesus Christ. And that's, as verse 10 says, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. But on the other hand, the second half, we find whoever does not believe God has made him a liar. Because he has not believed the testimony God has bore concerning his Son. What does this show us? There is no neutral position. Every one of us. We, in verse 10, every one of us and every person that's ever walked the face of the earth or will, they're either going to be in the category of the one who believes in the Son of God, or they will be in the category of the ones who do not believe God and have made him a liar, you see. No neutral position. Either you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you trust on him, or you don't receive this testimony. And if you don't receive this testimony and you don't trust in Christ, you've not believed upon him in a saving sense, then you're saying that God is a liar. Because God has clearly testified himself. If we receive the testimony of man, how much greater is the testimony of God? God has said, "This is my Son, my beloved Son." And those that don't believe on Christ, they say, "I'll not hear any of this." They say it's not true what the Father was saying from heaven. They're saying God is a liar. We know that the blood of Jesus gives testimony that He is the Son of God, Savior of the world. And to baptism. Again, the water and the blood testify. They should be believed. These witnesses, this testimony of Jesus should be believed. And the most serious is the internal witness of the Holy Spirit. For we don't want to reject Christ. We don't want to stop our ears to what God has said. And so that's why the Scripture says this would be the most serious rejection. The internal witness of the Holy Spirit to your spirit that Jesus is the Son of God. To reject the Holy Spirit's testimony as Jesus the Son of God is the most terrible form of denial of Jesus. Every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, according to Jesus. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And this should cause us to shudder. To hear such a word from Jesus saying, you must receive this testimony. Otherwise, there is no forgiveness for you. Matthew Henry is quick to comfort and say, we may be sure that those who indeed repent and believe the gospel have not committed this sin. So people will wrestle. Have I blasphemed the Holy Spirit? Have I resisted the witness of the Holy Spirit? Well, if you have repented, that means you've had a change. You're coming to God. You've turned away from that sin. You're coming to God through Christ. You've repented, so you're having faith in Christ. Those that repent and believe in Christ have not committed this sin. Turn to Christ. Turn to God in Christ this day. So we said first, the water, the blood, and the Spirit give testimony about Jesus. Second, the way to receive this testimony about God or of God about Jesus is to believe. It's to trust and depend on Jesus. And so for the believers that are hearing this, they're reading this. Maybe somebody, there's a gathering and John sent the letter and they're gathered around and there's somebody reading it. And they get to verse 10. Whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony in himself. Wow. I have believed, and so therefore I receive this testimony. It's in me by the very work of the Spirit. I've not just heard it with my ears. I've not just seen it with my eyes. As far as these gospel accounts, of the baptism of Jesus and the death of Jesus, whether he was, this is the water and the blood that testify. No, I even have received it within. I believe now. I trust. And there could have been some among that gathering that had not. And they would have been able to hear these words and say, whoever does not believe God has made him a liar. And they think, I'm not trusting in Christ. I'm not believing on him as for the forgiveness of my sins. And I've just heard this letter written from this Christian whom we know now was being carried along by the Holy Spirit to speak the words of God. And they say, oh, they'd be pierced and say, I'm not believing on Christ. I need to turn. I need to repent and believe. I need to trust God's testimony. So have you believed in the testimony of Christ that God has given? So finally, verses 11 and 12, what is the result of saving faith in Christ? If you've received this glorious testimony of Christ, what's the result? Well, the result is that you receive Christ, you receive this testimony of Christ. This means that you have received eternal life. Verses 11 and 12. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. And so if you receive the testimony, you receive life. We need to believe in Christ alone. For He is the only one who can cover our sins, who can give us the perfect righteousness by which we can be a child of God, have peace with God. There be no condemnation or guilt between us and God, for God is both just and the justifier. He justifies us with the very righteousness of Christ. He declares us righteous. Receiving the testimony about Jesus has importance for this earthly life and beyond. God graciously gives spiritual life to people who are dead in their sins. You see, here's the great picture of a person that has become a Christian. Now you've come to life. You have life. Formerly you were dead in your sins and trespasses. Now God gives life. God gives spiritual life in the gospel. This is unending life in His Son. Everybody will exist eternally, but the question is, will you eternally live or will you eternally die? And in Christ, we might live. Oh, God, God has given this. You see, it is a gift. Believing in Jesus is the only way to receive this eternal life. Faith in Christ is the only way that we might have life. God can give eternal life because Jesus died on the cross, taking the sins of the people of God. Jesus did not commit sin, but yet He died taking our sins upon Himself. So who exactly was Jesus being punished for when He was on the cross? Well, the Bible calls these people the elect or the chosen of God. And so how do we know if a person is one of the elect? I think it's very simple. All the elect receive the testimony about Jesus. All the elect believe in Jesus for salvation. And so it is possible for God to give eternal life through Jesus alone. And we've talked a lot about the death of Christ, but I'll have to remind you of the resurrection. For Jesus is alive forevermore. Anyone who lives and believes in Him shall never die. Because He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever has the Son, and let's conclude with verse 12, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Is this clear enough for us? Everybody here, they can understand words. Some of them are, you know, the little tiny ones wouldn't be able to understand these words. But those of us who can, a clear statement from the Bible regarding a person's spiritual condition. You say, okay, sometimes I'm confused. Sometimes we make this very difficult. Sometimes Scripture speaks so clearly we can't argue with this clarity. If a person has the Son, they have life. So the person who trusts in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins depends upon Him, Christ's righteousness, as their approval before God. That person is spiritually alive. If you have the Son, you have life. And if a person is not trusting in Christ for salvation, that person does not have spiritual life. Or we could say they're spiritually dead. So you don't have the Son of God. That means you don't have the proper knowledge of Him. You say, well, I know all about Him. Then you don't have faith in Him, trust in Him. To have Him is more than just to have the information in your head. You've got to depend upon Him and trust in Him. And also I'd say to have Him is to have joy in Him. To have joy in Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. Oh God, stir us up to faith. Oh God, as we properly look to Christ, may we experience great joy. But what was He doing? Again, there's a great testimony. What He was doing was, as He was going through these waters of baptism. Did Jesus need purification from sin? Of course not, but He says it's necessary to fulfill all righteousness. I've got to do this, set the model. And then now all of us will be baptized in Christ. We'll identify with Him. That's in His death. And we'll be raised up to walk a newness of life. And so, receiving the testimony about Jesus is to receive eternal life. Simple summary, the baptism of Jesus gave a great testimony about who Jesus was. The death, the shedding of Jesus' blood gave a great testimony that He really is the Son of God. Does God want us to remember these things? The testimony of the water and the blood. Does God really want us to remember that? I think He does. Because He set this up in the ordinances of the church. You see, there is the baptism. And when a person confesses Christ and is baptized, we should remember that great baptism of Christ when the Father testified, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." And every time that we take the supper, the Lord's Supper, we should remember about that suffering. For He says, "This is my blood is shed for the forgiveness of the sins of many." I believe God wants us to remember this. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. And then ultimately, we're so happy, we're so delighted that God would do everything that was necessary for us to receive, be enabled to receive this testimony. For we saw that the Holy Spirit gives a great testimony of Jesus. For this is the great inward witness. I can tell you the story, but I can't make the Spirit work in your soul. Oh, trust in Him. Flee to Christ. For the only way to receive this testimony of Christ is to believe, to trust, to depend. Don't depend upon yourself. Don't depend upon your parents. Don't depend upon anything else in this life to be reconciled to God. For the person, if a person receives the testimony of Jesus, then that person receives, according to this scripture, eternal life. So I asked you the question, I'll ask it again. Have you believed God's testimony about Jesus? I hope everybody can give a clear answer to that question. Have you believed God's testimony about Jesus? If you do not believe, if you have not received that testimony, then you do not have life, according to this passage. So today, believe the testimony. Confess your sin. Confess your rejection of Him. Repent and turn, depending upon Christ's sin-cleansing blood. That's what John tells us in chapter 1 of this letter. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we back up and we say in verse 7 of chapter 1, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So it is the day to turn. If you've not received Christ, turn to Him the first time. But I don't think that John's primary purpose was to be evangelistic or to share the gospel to unbelievers with this letter. Because he says, you are of the truth. He tells them in other places. And he says that you'll know that you're born of Him. John is writing, I believe, to encourage their hearts. So here's the encouragement, believer. Listen to this. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The Spirit is testifying. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. You are assured by the Spirit that God has given you eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And finally, believer, whoever has the Son has life. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you would continually work among us and may we hear what you have said. What good news. This is gospel news. That Jesus indeed is the Christ. And through Jesus we might have life. And this is eternal life. That is not your best life now. It's eternal life. Father, thank you for giving such a gift. You are so gracious. You are so merciful. You do not give us what we deserve. On the other hand, you give us eternal life. You give us life in your Son. Oh, we rejoice in Jesus this day. He is our only hope and our only trust. And in Him we have life. I pray that, Father, you would indeed rejoice our hearts in Jesus, a simple, straightforward message from your Scriptures. Would you rejoice our hearts tonight? Because you have given us this gift. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would guard us from unbelief. Let us not go away from the testimony, for there is no other one to go to. This week, as we are looking to possibly face many struggles or many victories, whatever the case may be, let us know that we have everlasting victory in Christ. For He is overcome and we overcome by faith, by trusting in Him. Lord, thank you for how you have loved us with an everlasting love. And it's through Christ that we know your love, and it's by the work of the Spirit that it actually is, we've come alive to your love, that we see the love of God in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these gifts. And it's through Jesus that I pray this. Amen.